Welcome to Ask Peggy About Your Finances, because prosperity is so much more than money. Brought to you by writer, speaker, and certified financial planner, Peggy Doviak.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 in Norman for production and studio assistance.
Hello, and welcome to the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. My name is Peggy Doviak, and I'm a certified financial planner practitioner and a personal finance author. I've got some great topics for you today. We're going to start out looking at the stock market performance in October. And if you heard that the market went down, some of it did, but it is probably not as bad as you think. We're going to look at the presidential race and interest rates. We're going to also at that point look and see how sometimes financial journalists think a little too highly of themselves. We're going to talk about doing your civic duty, and then to take a huge break from politics in the Plan Your Prosperity section, I'm going to talk about being thankful and why I use the term Plan Your Prosperity. And then finally, in the Ask Peggy section, we're going to look at financial tasks that you need to get done by the end of the year. So let's get started with the bulls and bears market and economic update. This is for the month of October 2024. So I didn't do a weekly analysis this week. I went ahead and I looked at monthly data taken from MarketWatch. And yes, the Dow Jones Industrial Average went down in October, but it went down 0.15%. So if you weren't trying to create a screaming headline, you would say the market was flat in October. The S&P 500 went down 0.39%, so about 0.4%, while the NASDAQ actually went up 0.56%, so that went up about 0.5%. Gold went up 3.23%, and oil, West Texas Intermediate Crude front month price dropped 8.81%, and it's currently $70.49 a barrel. The 10-year Treasury has just been all over the map, and it is up 36%. And the current interest rate for a 10-year Treasury is 4.397%. Now, it did drop in some earlier months, but that huge increase is kind of odd. The dollar was up 1.2%, and Bitcoin was up about 9.5%. So I want to point out a few things. You cannot actually look at the price of gasoline 4 years ago, compare it to today, or the price of oil, because coming out of the pandemic with absolutely no demand, the prices fell so that people would purchase. Remember, the whole concept is with supply and demand, if nobody's buying, you've got to drop the price until they start buying. So you can't look at the price of gasoline as meaning anything other than a supply-demand issue. I do think that the interest rate movements have been really nuts. And we're going to talk more about that in just a few minutes. So that the 10-year Treasury going up 36% is absolutely stupid. So I'm going to tell you why here in a little bit. Otherwise, the market was flat. And now going into some more of the analysis, one of the things that I dislike a lot is when people write sensational headlines. In fact, I was following the market day to day, but you know, doing this show helps me keep up to date as well. So I hadn't really been looking at the monthly data. I was more getting caught up in the daily noise. I've been thinking about other things. I know what the market's doing more or less. But then when they said, oh, the markets were down in October, I actually panicked a little bit because it was like, wow, I wonder what I missed. Well, and the truth is I really didn't miss much, right? You didn't either. So you always want to be very, very careful that you don't get caught up in the hype of things. Which leads me to what I read when I was looking for commentary about what was going to go on with the Federal Reserve. Remember that on the 7th, today for me, it's November 4th. So this is Monday. So they're going to make a decision on the 7th, whether or not they're going to lower rates. If you listen to this show regularly, and I really hope you do, you will know that I was not expecting them to cut on Thursday. But I have to tell you, I am flying against everything by saying that. So there is a very real possibility, since I live in Norman, Oklahoma, and I am not friends with the big movers and shakers, that somehow they've convinced the Fed that going ahead and cutting rates again after they said they weren't is the right thing to do. Or maybe the Fed has data that's buried deep enough that I haven't seen it. So nonetheless, there's very possibly going to be a 0.25% move on Thursday to the downside, which means rates may be going down. And I'm not even going to tell you if I think they're going down again this year right now, because I didn't think they were going down this week. So what do I know? But I really laughed at a headline that I read. And I think this is where you've got to be so careful. And it was talking about how important the Fed's move and how it was going to upstage the presidential election in how important the market thought it was. I don't believe that. Okay, and I don't care what the Fed does on Thursday, and I actually don't care what the market does on Wednesday after the election, or Thursday or Friday, or whatever we find out who the president is. The market actually cares much more about a legislative agenda and long-term actions than it is going to care whether or not the Fed cuts 0.25%. It is possible that the reaction will be quicker. I don't know. It's early, and I've been up with tornadoes for the last 3 days here in the state. Fortunately, nothing too close to me, although the next round is coming in an hour. So we'll find out. But we may see a reaction in the market to the Fed's decision one way or the other almost immediately. So here's one reason why this is important for you to know. If you are following politics and wondering what the presidential election is going to do to the stock market, and let's assume we don't have an answer on the 5th, okay? Let's assume just randomly we figure out who the president is going to be on the 7th. And simultaneous to that, the Fed makes a decision. Well, I promise you, if we've chosen the president, it will be a top-of-the-fold story, and the Fed actions will get relegated to the business page. But you may think that the presidential election has had an impact that, in fact, it hasn't. And one reason I wanted to talk to you guys about this is I see it happen over and over. It's a mistake I can miss myself. You have a stock market thing that happens. You have news that happens. But I learned in statistics, correlation does not presume causality. Just because two things happen on the same day doesn't make them related. And with the Fed making a decision on Thursday, potentially, and the market absolutely convinced to its shoe soles that they're going to cut, I'm still not sure, but, you know, I'm not going to argue with the world. And the potential of choosing our president that same day. Don't think the two things are related. Look at the Fed action. It may be more of an immediate driver of market action than the election. And you need to know what's causing what so you know how to respond.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the legislative update of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And when I was trying to figure out what to put in this section today, it didn't seem like any legislative update mattered, because we are about to have an election tomorrow, and we will have a different president, regardless of who wins, and then who controls the House and who controls the Senate will make the rest of the difference as to what happens and what doesn't. And anything that isn't in favor with the party in power, but is being proposed right now, is just going to be left to die. The new session starts in January. So there didn't seem to be anything interesting to talk about on the legislative update today. So instead, what I want to ask you to do is to vote. Okay, if you have listened to the show for a long time, I'm not going to say that you might not have picked up some political leanings that I might have. But what I will tell you is, whoever you are voting for, what I absolutely positively want for our country is for everyone to vote. Democracy relies on all the voices being heard. So I can't imagine sitting this one out. But if you're wondering if you should vote or not, you should. You absolutely should. You won't actually get this message in time unless you listen to my podcast right after I put it up. But still, I think that being involved, being knowledgeable, the whole reason I do a legislative update and a finance show is because many times there's tax law that's being changed. There's legislative proposals that would make a huge difference in your life. You know, whether or not something is going to be taxed, whether or not a tax bracket's going to stay the same, whether or not your financial professional should actually act in your best interest all the time. All of those are political issues. And I actually entered the field of finance because of my mother's terrible experience with a stockbroker. And I wanted to make sure that that never happened to anyone else. And then after I'd been open for about 3 years, I found out that what the stockbroker had done was probably completely legal. Now, there were some class action lawsuits that went out over whether or not someone's risk tolerance was really taken into account before they were sold the dot-com startup stocks that so many people bought around 99 and 2000. So it may not have been totally legal, but I'll tell you what, it was a whole lot legal than I would have believed possible. And that's when I became politically active when it comes to your money. I try, for the most part, at least in a public forum, keeping my opinions about everything else to myself or to my friends. But what I do know is finance, and I've taken the time to learn how all of these rules and laws and regulations and where are the special interest groups and who has all of the money trying to get pieces of legislation passed. I spent a lot of time studying that. That's what I try to bring to you in this segment, whether you want it or not. But I will, in fact, keep doing that. I do not care who you vote for. I want you to vote for the person who is going to act in your best interest. You are the person who knows the answer to that question, and I don't want to presume to go anywhere with this other than to just beg you, please get out and vote. We should have elections where 90% of our country who is eligible votes. We don't often have that, so I would like very much to do my part in this show to tell you that I want you to go vote. I want you to vote your interests. And that is how the majority of the interests of the country should be able to be in office.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the Plan Your Prosperity segment of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. I can't believe it's November. I can't believe we're about 3.5 weeks before Thanksgiving. I can't believe the holiday season is just ready to kick off. It seems, and I know this makes me sound old, I'm going to say it anyway, it seems like the 4th of July was last week. I cannot believe how fast 2024 has gone. I hope your year has been going well. I hope that if it's going fast, it's going fast because you have been doing lots of fun things. So when I opened my financial firm, and it's now been 21 years ago last September, so like 2 months ago, it's been 21 years, I needed an elevator tag. I don't know if you guys know much about business marketing, but everybody has to have an elevator tag. You've got the length of an elevator ride to convince someone that they want to work with you. So you need something cute. You need a motto. You need a slogan. That's a financial firm, right? And I don't want to use be rich because, you know, maybe you can't be. We make choices. We make really good choices in our lives that sometimes don't result in our being rich. We make career choices where we're making tremendous differences. And even though we really should get rich from those choices, we know we won't. Plus, I just think it's a tacky thing to say. You know, anything about making sure that you have lots of money, just, I don't know, if you're old enough to remember the metaphor, made me sound like Alex P. Keaton. So that, yes, I'm absolutely a capitalist, but having you all be, you know, rich little stock market people, it's not really the goal of my show. The goal of my show is to teach you things. So I was thinking about words I could use, and I came up with the word prosperity. And I really, really like the word prosperity because it means much more than having money. Or it certainly can mean more than having money. Now, to really be prosperous, you need a level of financial stability. You are not going to consider yourself prosperous if everything is going south in your finances. So, you know, that is the direct thing that I try to help people avoid. But you can be comfortably, you know, able to pay your bills, able to take a trip once in a while, not be rich, but be surrounded by family, by friends, by our animals, by the job that we do, by the people we encounter in the job that we do. And we can live very prosperous lives. You can have a prosperous Saturday by sitting in a comfortable chair with a glass of your favorite beverage, reading a book, or watching a football game. Many, many things can make us prosperous, not all of which involves dying with the most money, because that is, in fact, a goal that most of us can't actually meet. So I wanted to help people build prosperous lives in addition to having a financial well-being. Well, this also ties to my love of November and the fact that we are 3.5 weeks from Thanksgiving. I have weird favorite holidays. One of my very favorite holidays is Easter because I love spring. I love rebirth. I love all the pastel colors and the eggs and everything that goes along with it. I love the church services. I'm an Easter girl, but I'm also a Thanksgiving girl. I think probably Thanksgiving almost ties with Easter as my favorite holiday because we are gathered with people that we love. There's no expectation of giving a gift. In fact, if you're lucky and you can get with a big group of people, you actually only have to cook one or two dishes. Now, if you like to cook a big Thanksgiving meal and have everybody over to your house, you knock yourself out. I think that's great. But some of us are really happy to get invited to another house and only have to cook one or two things. That is what I am doing this Thanksgiving. I am going to my granddaughter's house and her two little babies, who are the cutest things in the world. Those three people are some of my best things that make me prosperous. My aunt, who I take care of, not take care of physically, but I help her out. She makes me prosperous. My kitty cats and my horses make me prosperous. I was blessed to have a good marriage. That makes me prosperous. And yes, financially, I'm comfortable. Not stinking rich, but not I'm not worried about it either. That makes me prosperous. So I wanted to do my Thanksgiving episode a little early this year because I feel like Thanksgiving's just going to get on us before we know what happened. I think it's incredibly important to take some time, and maybe since it's just the 4th of November, try to find one thing a day for this month that makes you prosperous. It doesn't have to be the biggest thing in the world. It just has to be something that brings you joy, something that brings you peace. Because at the end of the day, having love, having joy, having peace, my opinion, is way more important than dying with the most money. So I hope you have a lovely beginning to your holiday season. I hope that when we get to Thanksgiving later this month, you have a fabulous Thanksgiving and then a wonderful end of the year. And happy Thanksgiving and go vote. Okay, can't leave that out. You still need to go vote.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 in Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the Ask Peggy segment of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And I wanted to just give you a reminder that my cozy mystery, You Can't Cheat Death, along with my two personal finance books, 52 Weeks to Prosperity and 52 Weeks to Well-Being, are available on my website. The Cozy's been a lot of fun, and the launch of that this fall has really given me great joy. I am right now working on my third personal finance book, which I think is going to be called 52 Weeks to Fearless, and it's going to be a book about money to creatives. And I'm getting really high interest on that one. So as that book gets closer to coming out, I will give you guys information so that if you think it sounds interesting, you can keep your eyes open for it. I was at the Enid Writers Club on Saturday for their day-long fall conference and had a great time there. And this coming Saturday, so today is November 4th, so it's the very next Saturday. I don't want to try to do math in my head. I'm going to be at Best of Books in Edmond doing an Oklahoma author signing. So if you think that sounds like fun, then come up to Edmond and check it out. So we were just talking about Thanksgiving, and I know it's weird to do that episode the first week of November, but I promise you, Thanksgiving is going to be here before you know it. You do have a couple of weeks before the holiday crazies hit, because so many people are doing so many things, and the end of the year can get pretty overwhelming. And so you have some financial things you want to take care of now. So since this is the Ask Peggy segment, I'm going to say the question this week is, Ask Peggy what you need to get done by the end of the year. And this is actually a question I just did myself because it's so easy this time of year to think you have more time than you do. The first thing is, if you are required to take a required minimum distribution from your pre-tax accounts, so you have reached that age and you have money in an IRA or a 401k where you're not still working there, then you have to take a required minimum distribution every year. If it's an IRA, you probably have the amount of distribution provided to you on your statement. You may have already taken it, and whoever is your custodian may have already requested it. But it's very important. The IRS gets really irritated with you if you don't take your RMD by the end of the year. Related to that is the RMD if you inherited money. Now, the rules around this are super complicated, mostly because Congress decided to change the law without consulting the IRS before they did it. And so the non-spousal inherited IRA, required minimum distribution, has just been a train wreck since 2019 and the legislation passed. It does look like they have finally worked out some details. So at first, there was confusion. Did you have to take it every year? The general sense was no. Then the IRS came back and said, oh, yes, you do. But they're not penalizing you if you didn't. So right now, it still looks like you have 10 years to empty the account from anyone you inherited money from 2020 or later. Again, these rules change with the day, but you want to go ahead if you could take more than your RMD. It might be to your advantage. So you need to take the RMD, but remember that the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act tax brackets, there's a mouthful, sunset at the end of 2025, which means there's a super good chance you're in a lower tax bracket today than you will be in 2026. Because of that, you might want to take more money from your RMDs this year and next year and pay less tax on it. You want to look and see where you're hitting in your tax bracket. You want to look and see how much money you could take out additionally without raising your tax bracket. You want to see how this year's income compares to your income going forward. So it's not just a clean and simple, I'm not telling you to go do this. I am telling you that you really might want to look at it. So you also want to look at as to whether or not your health insurance and any form of Medicare that you're having is what you want right now, because it's open enrollment for ACA and Medicare policies. Be very, 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 very careful with Medicare Part C. It is private insurance that mimics what actual Medicare does, but it is not run by the government. And so, yes, sometimes you get benefits that you wouldn't have gotten otherwise, but you don't have the stability of the government-run program. On top of that, you usually have a gatekeeper who decides what other doctors you can go to. So if you have specialists, they may not be approved on that plan, and they're much more likely to be approved on your regular Medicare. Once you've moved, you can take care of your A and your B, but your supplemental and your prescription drug plans will be subject to underwriting and could cost a lot more if you move to C and you don't like it and you want to move back. So be careful. I think the advertisings are incredibly misleading. If you want a Medicare C plan, absolutely you should do it. I want you to know what you're buying before you do it. And then finally, make sure you've withheld enough tax. If you haven't, hold out extra from a paycheck if you can, because the IRS will give you credit for having paid it in evenly over the year if it's been withheld. Just stuff to think about before it gets nuts.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
You may submit personal finance questions to the Ask Peggy Facebook page and learn more at PeggyDoviak.com. And remember, prosperity is so much more than money.